Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bikini in the Brain. I'm here with the lovely Ashley Kottwalser, who's looking fly AF today. Look at that makeup.
Looking good. They can't see with this lighting.
Yeah, if you're on
podcast. I got the pink going on, and I got purple hair, which you can't tell because of the lighting, and a matching energy drink.
You look like all the flavors at Baskin Robbins on makeup.
Heck yeah. You know, I try to keep it fun. So,
so Ashley, we got a fun topic today. This one, fun. I'm actually really surprised.
So fun.
I'm really surprised you sent this one over because it's not really how you think. So I'm like, okay.
It's not. It's how you think. But I'm learning to be more like Adam Bonilla. So I'm trying to learn the tricks of the trade to have my life figured out like you.
So the topic for today is... Go ahead.
Gosh, where do you see yourself in 10 years? You know, what's your long-term goals? What are they? Is that something you think about?
I think that that's a really big topic and really important for the listeners, because a lot of people who will like email me and mention, like they'll message me or come in the office, whatever. They'll be like, I want to be a pro. I want to be a pro. And then I always respond. And I'm like, why? But why do you want to be a pro? And there's a lot of times it's just dead silence, just dead air. Like, cause they don't see past that. You know, a lot of people don't see past it. They just see the instant, I want to be a pro. And then they don't realize, hey, there's a lot more goes into it than just being a pro. Like that's, so I am very excited to hear your take on what, you know, 10 years from now, what's the bikini career going to be like? What is, you know, how are you set up? What are you thinking? And, you know, kind of go from there. And I think, cool, I'll give my trainer perspective too. And so Ashley, let's have you kick. Honestly, I'm actually a fan of this one, like as like a regular listener, because I feel like I got a front row seat, because that's something that we talked about once in a while, and you're like, I don't know, whatever, I just go with the flow. So I want to kind of hear your take on it. Where's Ashley Kottwalser 10 years from now? Where are we
you
at?
You know, it's a difficult question to answer, because whenever somebody asks, like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I'm always stuck, because I mean, I don't really have an answer to that. And I think a lot of people though can relate. And I think it's good to kind of put it out there that even me, like, I don't have my life figured out, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm just one to kind of go with the flow and take opportunities as they come my way. Because if you think of it, like 10 years ago, I would have never thought I would be doing this professionally. I never thought I would be making a career from fitness. You know, how did I get here is my question. Like, how did I get here? I don't know. But all I do know is I have taken every opportunity to better myself, and I never slacked on it, like, except for 1 year it did, but 2017, like even little opportunities that I know would make me better, I took them, whether it be like doing a seminar last minute. One seminar I did in South Korea, I literally had 24 hours notice, and I was like, well, I'm not doing anything else this weekend, let's go to South Korea. But that's just one example of many.
Wait a minute.
Any opportunity I saw.
Hold on.
That was like, yeah.
You left. Wait a minute. You weren't in South Korea. You just left that. How did that? Wait, I've never heard this story. So wait a minute. You were told you were in California, and then you were told.
I was in Ohio.
And you just went to South Korea for the weekend in 24 hours?
Yeah. 24 hours. Actually, probably a little bit less. I remember the promoter was like, hey, Ashley, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm like, I'm not sure. He's like, I have a seminar this weekend. I would love for you to be a part of it. And it was like pretty cool opportunity. I just kind of did it, you know, on a whim. Just, I was like, sure, YOLO.
That's crazy. That's a 16 hour flight. Cause we went to Korea. Yeah. So that's, I can't believe that. That's crazy. I didn't know that story. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Anyway, that's a cool story. You know what? That's a really good like topic for people who pass up opportunities all the time. Like people do it. They're like, oh, it's, I don't know if I'll have the time. I don't know what I'll be doing.
But it's like, inconvenient. Yeah.
Yeah. So you really do got to jump on those opportunities and just take advantage of them. Because, well, one, you never know how long those opportunities are going to be there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's, And that's something too that I always tell people, because people see the situation now as like a trainer.
Ooh, bless me.
And you as like an athlete, right? And we're like, yeah, bless you. And I tell people, I'm like, look, like being in the limelight and being like a known name is a period of time. It's like being like an actor. You've seen actors that are really, really famous for like 3 years and doing a ton of movies, and all of a sudden they disappear. And you're like, hey, whatever happened to Vin Diesel, you know, type of thing, right? Like when he was killing it in all those movies, all of a sudden he wasn't there for a while. Now he's coming back a little bit, but it was like for a while he was gone. And that happens to almost all the actors. There's very few that are consistent for like 10, 15 years. So I say, hey, when you make your noise, like ride the wave as hard as you can, because that wave one day will be crashing in the sand. You know?
Absolutely. Like this time I have doesn't last forever. Being like a competitive bikini athlete, I know that it doesn't last forever. And I don't want it to last forever. I don't want to be like 60 years old and competing or anything like that. No offense to those that are competing at 60, more power to you. But I don't want to be one of those people. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. What I have done is basically what you're saying. I was riding the wave as long as I possibly could. Any opportunity that I saw to make myself better, to further myself in the sport, I took that opportunity, whether it be doing a last minute seminar across the world or a photo shoot that lasted like 12 hours, you know, I took those opportunities, and that made me a successful athlete. And it also branched off into many different business ventures as well, because maybe you guys know, maybe you don't. I the way I make money isn't primarily through competing. You know what I mean? Like if I do 4 shows a year, that even if I won all 4 shows a year as a pro, that probably wouldn't, be enough money to make a good living. But then again, it also depends on how big the shows are. Obviously, if you win the Olympia, you're good. But there's other, you know, things that go into it as well. So little different business opportunities came from the small opportunities that I took along the way and my success in the industry. A lot of people don't realize that this sport, although you might not win every time, maybe you don't win at all, maybe you don't turn pro, there are still many opportunities for you to make a name for yourself and for you to make income. And whether that be as a sponsored athlete or even a coach like you are, Adam, or somewhere in the realm of social media, there are many ways that you can brand yourself. And I think that is super important. And that is one thing that I need to improve on in order to further my success in the industry when I'm done competing. So when I am done competing, I would like to have my brand built up so well that it can kind of carry me along through my entire career.
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing for a lot of people to hear. And that's what, when people come in the office, whatever, and they're like, I want to be a pro. That's kind of like the response I want to hear. I want to hear, you're a pro, why? And I'm like, well, I want to be a pro for, there's two types of people, right? One is people think of pro sports and any pro sport, and you make a good income when you're playing any pro sport. Especially if you're one of the upper ranked pros. But the other one is that I want to hear. So I want to hear. So some people say, I just want to push myself. I want to be Miss Olympia. I want to be the best in the world. And they're willing to work for it. And then the other there. So there's those people, and they're just like basically purists, and that's all they want, which there's some combination. A lot of people are combinations, like you're a combination. And then there's other people who will say, well, I want to use it as a platform to give me some brand recognition. So that way I can launch it into my clothing line, launch it into my eBooks, whatever, my coaching, my posing, whatever. It's just a platform for me. And I think that you're one of the very rare people who do a good job at both. You're super dedicated and want to win. Like your fire inside you that wants to win is pretty damn strong. And then you're also good at making sure you seize the moment, and you are, taking the business opportunities that come with it too. So I think honestly, I think a lot of those go hand in hand too, you know? So, yeah, so I think that that's really, really great that you do that and you talk about it. And just for you, so you people out there know, one, Ashley has an awesome ebook, really, really cool ebook that she has, very professional. and then, you know, she has her sponsors and a whole bunch of different things. She does posing every now and then. I'll just guest seminars, fitness app. What am I missing? Anything else? I mean, little sponsors.
I sweep your floors. Just kidding. I will, though. I will totally sweep your floors.
You've done it once with her body.
Please just promise me. Can you promise me if my career doesn't turn out as I want it to, will you let me sweep the floors of the Contest Prep Center in Vegas?
I won't let you. I will find a better job for you.
No, I can do it. I don't know. I'm good at cleaning. I am.
Actually, you want to hear a crazy
story? Clean.
You want to hear a crazy story? I wonder if she got back. Actually, I'm going to look it up. So I had a girl. So once in a while I get people who just want to like learn and they'll want to intern. And I have some crazy, I don't want to say crazy. I have some obsessed, probably was a better word. People who want to just, they're so dedicated. They just want to get their foot in the door. And I've had maybe 10 over the last like year, people from like different countries. And they'll say, I live in India, but I want to learn from you. I'll work for you for free for 1 year if you just let me learn for you, and I'll do whatever it is. Like, I'll clean the floors. I'll do this. I had a girl that said, I wonder if she got back to me. I'm going to look at my messages. She said to me, if I come in and clean every day, the prep center, can I work out there for free? And maybe you train me like once a week? And I was like, yeah, that'd be a fair deal for sure. Like in Vegas when it's built. She's from Vegas. But,
she's taking my job.
I know, right? They took our jobs. that's South Park. They took our job. With that being said, when we go to Vegas, I am thinking about doing like an intern program. I think that's going to be cool. I've been getting a lot of inquiries, like, you know, enough where people, it's there. The desire is there. So I'm going to have that in Vegas, some type of intern thing. I think that's pretty cool. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, what else, where do you see yourself? That's a 10-year plan.
You know, I think another thing is like the whole competition experience taught me a lot about myself, and it did teach me what I like and don't like, what I'm good at, what I'm not. I found I really do like helping people. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but I do. Like, even if I get a message saying, you know, Ashley, like, I saw your YouTube video and it really inspired me to eat healthier. And now I have like a little bit of knowledge on how to do that. And I lost 5 pounds. Like that really does mean a lot to me. And that makes me feel really good. So I do like helping people, and I do like fitness, obviously. I think that fitness will always be a part of my career and a part of my life, because I was an athlete since I was a wee little tot, you know? And I remember, there were two times in my life where fitness wasn't a part of me and I didn't really engage in fitness, and I felt so lost and I didn't feel like myself. I woke up and I was like, what am I even doing? Like, I feel so weird. I feel like nothing is exciting for me anymore, not to have a goal to work towards. The first time I took off was after college, and I was done with track, and that was the time where I was bartending, and I just felt so lost because I didn't have like a goal to train for. I didn't have a meet that weekend. I didn't have any reason to train, you know, really, really hard. And then the other time was in 2017, whenever I was just, I needed a little break, and I went a little too far with that break and just stopped working out. But those times, I was probably the most unhappy. So what this sport has taught me is that fitness, it will always be a part of my life. So whatever career I do in the future, I need to have fitness a part of it. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Adam, but I think when I did that documentary in Japan, they asked me, what's your long-term goals? Do you remember what I answered?
I don't.
And everyone laughed at me. The Japanese people laughed at me.
I remember when they said, what's your biggest fear? And you said of being average, like your biggest fear. I don't remember what you said to that one, to that question though.
They're like, what's your long-term goal? And I said, to be a legend.
Oh, you did.
That's what it was. And they laughed at me. I don't know if it was a cultural thing, but I thought, well, that was kind of rude. I'm just being serious though. I want to be a legend. And that doesn't necessarily mean have the most wins, but you know, just having a spectacular career, many accolades that I can look back on and be super proud of, and, you know, establishing my brand. So, you know, that's very important to me, because I think once you establish your brand and you have a brand of your very own, you can do a lot of things with it, right? You can do social media, you can come out with your own products. So that is something that I still continuously need to work on, but that is something that I really strive towards. And my long-term goal isn't very specific now, is it? So I'm just, you know, I think sometimes I think that maybe I should be a little more specific with my goals, but honestly, like, I don't know yet. Like, I couldn't tell you. I know what yours are. I know some of them anyway, but I don't know yet. I feel like a little bit immature in that sense. Like, should I have this all figured out or should I just go with the flow? Cause that's what's been giving me the most success is just going with the flow. I don't know. I think like a lot of people feel the same way as me though. They're just like, you know, I'm having fun right now. I love my life right now. But as far as 10 years, I'm not sure. And I will say this too. It's so hard to put a specific goal out there because, you know, there are some things that I said I would never do and I've done them, such as buy a house.
Yeah,
I had zero interest in buying a house up until probably March. And I always wanted to rent an apartment because I loved the fact that, you know, if something was broke, they could fix it. There's no commitment. I was super afraid of commitment. Like buying a house is a big deal, you know? So never did I think that I was going to buy a house. And here I bought a house just a few months ago.
And
I love it. I don't regret it. It was something that I was super, the thought crossed my mind whenever I saw what happened to the economy. Not that my money or income was affected by it, but I saw other people kind of just get their whole income source ripped away from them. And I didn't realize how unpredictable life could be. And I think buying a house is safer. That way I have something, you know, and in case like I'm not making as much money in the future, I still have a house, you know? And my goal is to have my house paid off very quickly. I don't want to like do no 30-year mortgage. Like I want to get this paid off ASAP. So that's a little goal to work towards. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Adam?
I think that's cool. Well, I think that was, so I think sometimes like these spontaneous decisions end up being like a really good thing in the end. Like that was semi-spontaneous because you were like, I don't know how you buy a house. Cause it's what's funny is Ashley was with me when I bought my house, when I bought my building. And then I was with her when she bought her house. Like we're always like there with each other. It's so funny. So she flew into Denver. And then like literally probably weeks before that, she was like, yeah, I just like apartment. I never want to buy a house. And then she flew into Denver. She's like, Adam, I want to buy a house. And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, yeah. And I think I want to live in Vegas. And then, so literally that was on Monday or Tuesday she flew in. And then that weekend we flew to Vegas and looked at 20 homes, 22,
in one day.
20, one day, 22 homes. And it was the first home that she looked at that she loved the most. And I love it too. It's really nice. And I think it's sometimes those spontaneous decisions that are like, I guess you'd say semi-impulsive are end up being the best thing, you know, because that's what happened for me, the prep center. That was not supposed to actually happen. This prep center was never supposed to happen. The Denver one, I was actually supposed to be a partner at a gym with my friend. At Armbrust Pro Gym, and then that deal ended up not going through, but I was supposed to be like a 25% owner, so I moved our team there, and then I was like, and then it just didn't work out, everything just didn't line up, so I was already there, and I was like, all right, well, we're going to need something secure, and so this building came up, and I literally got it, it was listed, and 3 days later, I got it, and I found a way to make it work, and it was like the best thing that happened, because if I would have been at Armbrust, I wouldn't have known that this actually would have worked. I wouldn't have known that this is a thing. And now we're going to Vegas. So it's like, and then Vegas was super impulsive too. Like it was super impulsive. And it was last minute. So, you know, those things, sometimes you can't see what your plan is going to be because you don't even know what it is. And it ends up being better just going with the flow sometimes too.
Right. So, do you feel like you have sometimes that strong gut feeling? Like I did with this house and I did when I decided I wanted to buy a house. Like I had like a, oh no, I'm doing this. Like, no, this is something I seriously want and have zero regrets. I've had a few of those moments throughout my life where I'm just like, whoa, I have this really good feeling about this. So I'm going to do it. And, you know, I think as long as it's a smart decision and you're thinking ahead a little bit, at least, you know, go for it.
Yeah, I do. And I think that there's some things that are worth the risk too. And that, you know, as long as you can calculate it, I think there's some things that you have gut feelings about, even though it might seem impossible to make happen, you see it being worth it. You know, when I bought this first prep center, it was a crazy scenario, you know, and I think that people need to know that you do have to take some risk if you want to get somewhere in life. It's never going to be easy and comfortable if you do anything great. It's just not. And so this one became available, and you know, without giving out too much info, essentially to get it, I needed to get a loan that was going to be like 8.something%, which was way too much. And it was going to be unlikely that I would qualify for this commercial loan for me being a first time gym owner, basically is what they're going to count it as. It was really going to be difficult even with, cause my business was not gym and that's how they were classifying it. So I was like, okay, screw it. I'm going to find a way to do it. I have to pay cash. So I sold my house, my cars, every asset I had. I literally had nothing. I lived in the floor of the prep center, like for a couple of weeks. I lived in the apartment of the girl who bought my house for a little while. And then another apartment, like last minute, which is the one you went to one time, just to make it work. And it was like, sometimes you have to do these things to make it work. And then it ends up being worth it in the end. So like so it's funny is that I had no intentions of buying the building, but it just made sense. And I remember they told me when they accepted my offer, and they were like on this first one in Denver, they accepted my offer. They said, hey, we'll accept your offer, but we want $40,000 earnest money. And if you can't come up with the money in 90 days, then you lose that earnest money because you're making a cash offer on money you don't have right now. And I was like, cause I couldn't prove I had the money to make the cash offer. And I was like, okay, I can make it work. Don't worry. I'm like, that's fine. So I basically gambled 40 grand. And I went into the office with Tori like that Monday. And I was like, hey, Tori, basically I have 3 months where I got to come up with 90 more thousand dollars in 3 months. And I have to sell my house to even get close to having that $90,000. And so I just like, well, I sold everything. I did every possible thing. I got friends helped, you know, like I was below $0 when I bought it, but it was hard and it was worth it. And I think that, that just goes to show you, you know, that, you know, you can't always have a plan, and you got to, and when an opportunity comes up, like you did, you went to Korea in 24 hours, or I bought a building when it was on the market for 3 days. Like you got to just jump on those opportunities and go with your gut instinct. Hopefully every time it'll work out for you. Sometimes it won't, but, you got to have, if you want to get somewhere, you got to be uncomfortable, you know? So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I envy you though, because I do think that you think way more ahead than me. I mean, I hear you talk all the time, like if we're together, like, oh yeah, someday I want to do this and this and this. And you're very like certain about it. Whereas like, I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm doing next year. But you know, I kind of like want to learn from you. What, like, do these thoughts just go through your head, or is it something that you think about and then express, or is there like a 10-year plan that you already have mapped out in your head that like you're just trying to fill in the little gaps of?
Yeah. So honestly, it's probably more of an issue than a thing. I don't think a lot of people would want the issue I have, but I have a nonstop idea machine going on in my head. And it's not just fitness, it's with other things too. My first invention, I was like 11 years old, 12 years old. My mom, I told you, my mom, she slept on the couch. She didn't have a room. So she slept on this hand-me-down couch that we had. We didn't have any money. And she had a really bad back because she slept on the couch. And so like, I was like 11 and 12. I was in fifth grade. So whatever, however old you are in that grade, fifth, sixth grade. And I was like, okay, how do I get my mom's back better? Cause she couldn't move and she's working three jobs, you know? And like her back would just freeze up all the time cause you sleep on this crappy couch. So I figured out this is so crazy. So I figured out like the weight distribution of how she was sleeping because of the cushions were so flat in the area. So like I figured out, okay, hey, what her hips are sinking into the couch more than the rest of her body. And that's what the problem is that she's in a constant arch of her back when she's sleeping. So she's in this like anterior pelvic tilt and it's causing her back to be tight. And that's the problem. So like I invented this like cushion that raised her hips up from like under and like put her feet in like a chamber of foam. Like, yeah. And it basically changed the weight distribution of how her back was positioned at night, and her, she was fine. And so I called it the body line, and that was like my first body invention. Right. And then, and I took it from an old couch in an alley, all this foam, and I cut these chambers and I changed the position, and it my mom's back was fine. She's like, I really like it, but it's really hot. So that was like the first invention. And then I was like, okay, I can make it better. I can create air chambers in the actual foam to create air circulation. Like it was just, I don't know. My mind just works that way. And then I went into like creating a bed, and then my ex, she had a neck problem. So I changed the pillow. Like I changed the weight distribution of the pillow. So like, I don't know. I just can't stop thinking of how to solve problems. And I think like the biggest problem that there is right now is, so 18% of all American deaths are all early American deaths are related to obesity, right? And I think with the way that I think that I can have impact on that. So that's really like my future plan, is to somehow have impact on that. And I actually have a plan in place to affect that. I know this is where it gets crazy. This is like the deep Adam, like that I don't really expose ever, but I don't care. People probably already think I'm crazy. So the reality is, so as we're getting better and as we're getting more people in our system, I think that there's patterns that we could see that apply to most people, that apply to almost everyone. And there's an algorithm I'm trying to figure out right now, and I'm trying to collect data right now on all of our people who check in, when they start running into plateaus, when they make the adjustments, the percentage of deficit that person is in based on like their weight and activity level. So I'm trying to come up with this thing where I basically call it like the ultimate fitness algorithm, where it takes into account everyone's history and everyone's plateaus and everyone's things, and come up with like the ultimate pattern recognition of when to make the right adjustments for people. That way I can make some type of program that's as advanced as ours is, with like precision of the masses so everyone can afford and have it. And then I think that way we can affect change on a mass scale, and then maybe reduce that 18% of early deaths down to 15, you know, whatever, 16, but like to create a proven system based on, you know, 10,000 people over the next 10 years, that's proven that at X weeks, this generally happens. At this many weeks, this generally happens. I haven't, there's patterns I see right now, but they're not so uniform. So I'm trying to get that as like a tool we can use for the future. And I know that that's kind of crazy, but that's what I want to do in terms of fitness. That's where I want to go with it. I want to affect the masses and reduce early deaths and have people live with their grandkids longer and have people live longer lives and not ever be, you know, hopefully affect the early deaths, you know, in America. So that's, yeah. That's kind of, yeah, I know.
Yeah, that is a big one, but you know what, Adam, I think it's funny because a lot of people here listening don't realize that you have all these little ideas all the time, like business ideas or whatever. And I always joke and I'm like, yeah, Adam, you should totally do it because you're definitely not busy enough yet. And it's so funny because you're like the busiest person I know. You're seriously like non-stop doing something, getting involved with something. So it's like you're like a genius. For real. Your mind is like non-stop.
Yeah, it's definitely sometimes problematic, I would say. But
keeps you up at night?
It unfortunately does. Yeah, it's a nonstop thing. So the ideas are never in short, you know. But one of the ones I have was the bed one I was talking about, where I, you know, change weight distributions of people's, they can, you know, how their body is affected by gravity, and like it's this whole thing I've come up with. But like the beds are basically thought of as like in a 2D model, but it's in a 3D scenario. So like. Mm-hmm. The weight distribution when someone's laying down is different than how it's affected effectively when they're standing up, and that's how beds are looked at. So like I've come up with this kind of solution there. But so that's probably like one of the things I'll do that might be able to fund the actual the algorithm capturing, because it's so hard. It's so much data you have to collect. It's so expensive to try to capture all that data. So that's where I want to go with it in the future is collecting the data, but coming up with a system to collect the data is really, really difficult on a mass scale. So that's what I want to do. Yeah, I really want, I think that I can have effect on that, and I just hope to do that. Now, the other thing I want to do, and I know this, so these are my future things. So my other thing I want to do is, I think eventually, you know, I don't know when, but eventually I will be fully in Las Vegas. I don't think I'll be in Denver forever. I think Las Vegas is calling me pretty hard right now. And I mean, it's just the promoters are super nice. They're really like wanting to work with you, and like they appreciate you. And it's just a different environment, you know, Muscle Contest and Patrick Sampson, like they just treat you with just so much like care and kindness and welcoming and open arms and like, hey, what can we do for you? You know, and that's just a very unique thing. And the athletes out there, they're all really excited that I'm coming out there. And you're here. And then that's another big part of it, you know? And as far as like, I didn't mention this, but as far as like you and your future stuff with fitness, obviously like you have an open invitation whenever you want to be like the bikini head coach of Team Elite.
A mascot, perhaps? Can I stand on the side of a road with a sign and be a mascot?
I think we can find a better job for you than that. Yeah.
I will be a mascot and I'll show up to all the shows. We just need to find like a solid mascot for Team Elite Physique.
so
get
that's
a costume made.
That'll always be in your back pocket though, so if you ever want it. But the future was, you know, there was another idea I had, which is I want to eventually have like the ranch, the fitness ranch kind of thing. So that was like, that will be past the prep center, which is basically like the ultimate like fitness ranch. That is going to happen one day. But it's a $2.5 million project at least. So it's not going to happen right now. But
what about the beach gym?
I think Vegas took over the beach gym. Yeah.
Okay.
The problem is, beach areas, it's really hard to find land. I was actually looking at that. You know, it was really hard to find land that would permit this stuff. And if you did, it was crazy expensive. So the ranch, I think, would be the next best thing. So it'll probably be, honestly, Vegas makes so much sense for people, because with Denver, when you come to Denver, you know how far it is. It's an hour away from the airport. No one really like is traveling through Denver, but everyone travels through Vegas type of thing. It's close to California and Arizona. People can come there for the weekend. It's cheap hotels everywhere. And they want to go to Vegas, or they're already likely going to Vegas at least once a year. So it just makes a lot of sense. So the ranch is essentially what I want in the future, which is basically a gym on a ranch that also has like apartments in it where pro athletes can come and stay there. Maybe for them, like example, like Phoebe from the UK or someone, you know, someone from Patricia from Hungary. And that way they can stay here for like 6 months, you know, and like just live there. And then they can live there. They can train there. We can spend a lot of time together and that type of thing. So I'd like to have that fitness ranch one day. And that would be a future thing that I'm actually going to do. That's for sure going to happen one day. So, and it'll be cool for like content, and like, we'll make it like a reality show, you know, it'd be fun, you know, like a fitness ranch type thing. Like, so yeah, that's my future stuff. But as of right now, it's get Vegas open, have the time of my life. I put it out yesterday on my stories. It's actually on my stories right now that I don't want any more pros. I'm getting a lot of pros reaching out to me right now, and I don't want any more right now. I want to focus on the ones we have and go as far as we can with them. And it's not a lot of people. I want to put like more time and energy into them. Spend more time like in Vegas, like with you too. And just like go old school with them, with the pros, and go old school with them, train a lot, have a lot of fun, have a lot of one-on-one time. And I'm still going to be taking on amateurs, but I'm going to be holding off on pros for at least the rest of the year and just work with the girls that we do have and give them a lot of time. And I think eventually that's the route I will travel, is just working with very few people. Like, that's years from now though. That's, you know, 5-10 years, and it's just like pro preps and have my coaches do the amateur preps. And when you become a pro as an amateur, then you can cross over to working with me type of thing. But that's like, you know, that's probably 5-10 years from now. So that's the future.
Hopefully I can still be good enough to work with you, Adam.
So that's cool. But
save a spot for me, please.
You're so crazy. You're gonna have, I'm like buying a house out there, and I'm like, you still have a room, because it'd be weird for me to have a house without you having a room. I don't even know how to do
that. Kids have to hide from the snacks.
That's so funny.
You know? Good. You know, one of the things that I really like about your philosophy is that you always prioritize happiness over money. I think me and you are on the same page. As long as we are secure with our finances and we have what we need, we don't have to live a super extravagant life. That's not what it's all about. But happiness is ultimately the most important thing.
Yeah. And I think that that's like I think it's like a Western thing. Where we just like, as like a capitalist country, where you guys try to like hide you. Well, Hugo, I can see you.
Thank you.
That's my brother Hugo.
I texted him. I said, please go ahead and go through, but he must not have gotten the text.
Who doesn't love Hugo? Hugo cameo. So, I lost my train of thought. I forgot what I was even saying.
We're talking about happiness as a priority.
Oh yeah, happiness. Yeah. So I think that's a problem with like we're like in this, you know, capitalist country where it's like make more and, you know, work harder and that type of thing. And I think for a lot of the people out there who want to be successful and that's all they think about, you see this like hip hop influenced, you know, more money, more jewelry, more women, more this, more that, more cars, you know, like that stuff really doesn't make you happy. Like once you get it, you know, and without like disclosing too much, you know, I've had a lot of success and I've had a lot of failure. I've been very, very well off two times and then lost everything down to zero twice. And when I was really, really well off, it didn't really make me happy. I was never happier. It was always, actually, to be honest, I was probably happiest in the grind of getting back than I was when I had it, you know, because it was like the journey, that journey of like grinding and wanting to do it is there. And once you kind of get there, you're kind of like, okay, what do I do now? You know? And it's like, so that's why you see, and just so you guys know too, that's why you see me doing these crazy things with like the prep center and whatnot. It literally takes my accounts down to zero. Like I'm actually under zero again right now because I just bought the building and then the construction costs came in and it's more than I have. And so now I'm like, okay, eventually I'll get back up to zero again, but I'll find a way to get there. And it's like, for me, it's so fun. I could care less about the money. I don't pay myself very much. And so, that's, I think, the thing that people need to really think about. You know, it's never going to be money that makes you happy. It's not a happy thing. It's definitely now, I've been really poor and I've been very well off. Yeah, it's more fun to be well off in terms of things you can do. There's no debating that, but raw happiness doesn't come from that, you know? So you got to find something that you're passionate about, that you can't stop thinking about, that you keeps you up, that, you know, that you want to do. And even if it means that you're making less money, then so what, you know, do it, you know, do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Go ahead. I was going to say, I've probably made more in real estate than I have in contest prep. And if I wanted to, I could crush real estate. I'd have no problem making seven figures a year in real estate. I'm good at it, but it's not fun for me. It's zero fun for me at all. You know, so like fitness is just so fun. You know, I can't stop thinking, how do I get better? How do I make a better physique? How do I research more to get this to be a better, how could we get Ashley to get another title? You know, what are these things? You know, and it's like a nonstop. I never think, oh, how could I make more money with real estate? That's not fun for me. You know, it's just like, it purely is about money. And if real estate's your jam and it makes you passionate, keeps you up at night, then great. That's awesome. I think you should absolutely do that. But find something that you can't live without, that you can't stop thinking about. And if you could turn that into your job, even if you make way less money, go for it, man. Cause you're gonna be so happy every day. And I'm just like so thrilled to even like be at the prep center every day. Like when I pull up to the parking lot, and there's the lot's full. I'm like, how do I own this shit? This is crazy that this even exists.
Yeah.
It's crazy, you know? And I'm like so happy and really happy. Open the door. Dudes comes and runs up to me. Anya says hi. Everyone's like, hey, I don't know. Like, it's like, dude, it's so cool, you know? So anyway, yeah, I guess I'm going a little too far again.
You know, I think you'd hit the nail on the head right there when you said like money doesn't necessarily equate to happiness. And I will say for me too, some of my most happiest times were during the grind or just coming up. And when I was broke, right? And I had to when I went to a pro show and shared a room with five other girls that were competing and all that stuff, because I had to pay on my own. It's like, you're way more appreciative of the little things, I think. Like, for example, if we went out to dinner and it was like a $20 meal or whatever, I'd be like, oh, this is like $20, like, you know, and you would just kind of savor it more and appreciate it more. But when money is more plentiful, you kind of just take things for granted a little bit, I think. So I think it's always important to stay grateful and just remember like where you came from and how the times were before you had money. And, you know, never forget it, because it can be so easily like diluted by your financial success. And, you know, I think that's a bad thing, because then you start to lose your happiness a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I still stay with a bunch of people in houses and stuff like during nationals. An Airbnb with like 10 people, that's my jam, man. We did that at USA's last year, I think it was. And I think they're doing it again at North American. So I might go to North American's too, because we have like 6 or 7 people, but it's the coaches' people. I have one in there. And so, yeah, I was like, well, maybe I'll go to the house and there's going to be like 10 people in the house. And those memories are so fun. They're so good. So like, those are fun times, you know? So I think I'm on the same page with you. Like when I was, you know, a lot of my happy memories had nothing to do with money. You know, mm-hmm. It was like me and my mom at our little crappy apartment, like just doing something stupid, you know, going to hockey games or fighting with each other. Like we used to do this fake fight and we'd like just throw stuff at each other, like little things like food from across the room and getting like food fights and like pillow fights and things like that. Like those are like my happiest moments, you know, and it was like nothing to do with, which was just savoring the day and like nothing mm-hmm. to do with money, you know? So right. I think that people need to think, okay, if I'm thinking 10 years ahead, how am I going to be happiest? And if it's like you're at this grinding job where you like, you just hate every moment of it, and the happiest moment you have is when you finally leave that thing, like you should, you know, get into something that makes you passionate. Obviously, if you're listening to this, fitness is part of your passion. There's so many jobs you can do in fitness, you know? Anya does like 4 jobs in fitness right now. She's filming content, which she loves doing content. So she films all the videos and whatnot. She's a posing coach. She's got a few clients that she has with as a for contest prep. And then she does personal training once in a while too. So it's like, she does all these things and it keeps her fun. Every day is a little bit something different. And then, you know, there's just so many different things you can do. And she's a pro bikini competitor, right? So, there's just so many things you can do, and finding your way in fitness. Like if you're creative, you could be a photographer for fitness. You could be a video guy for fitness, content creator for someone. There's just, you know, come up with your own line of apparel. There's, you know, your own line of stuff.
Own a gym.
There's just like so many things that are, and you know, you might not make a ton of money, but your happiness is always so much more worth it. Like, trust me, it's just so much more worth it. And everyone's like, well, yeah, you say that now, whatever, because you have income. But I don't take it. I still don't take it. It all goes right back into everything. You know, it's just like, I don't see the point. I pay my mortgage. I eat out probably once a day, which is terrible. And I buy maybe 2 pairs of shoes a month. And that is literally all the money I take. That's literally it. Other than that, that's the only money I take. And then everything else goes right back into everything, you know? So, yeah. And I love it. So I wouldn't trade it for the world. So.
Absolutely. And I think too, as we, this, what I mentioned earlier, it also applies to success. The more success you get, the less you cherish the little things because it's more expected of you. For example, I remember my first Olympia, I was literally just so happy to be there. Like, so happy to be there, you know, amongst all these girls that are the best in the world. And you know, I think a lot of times people would think that my views have changed and that like now I only expect to win. And if I don't win, I am unhappy. And that's not true. I think that's most people's mindset or how most people would think of it. Like, oh, she won the Olympia. So like going to the Olympia now is no big deal for her. She's, you know, she doesn't win, she's probably going to be really mad. She's going to be disappointed. And that is not the case. You know, it's not the case. Yeah. I'm really excited just to step on stage. It's like the best of the best. And it's such a cool atmosphere and something so cool to be a part of. And regardless of if I get first or whatever place I get, you know, as long as I show up knowing I tried my hardest, I did my best, I'm pretty happy. So yeah. It's not me that's disappointed, but it is a little, I guess, frustrating whenever, like, let's say I get fifth or sixth at the Olympia, and then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Ashley, it's okay. Like, maybe next year you'll do better. Like, I'm sorry to hear that. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, you're...
What?
Yeah, I'm number six,
like,
in the world.
Six in the world, I'll take it. Like, come on now, people. So it's kind of like that. I think that can really get to people's heads sometimes if they experience a little bit of success and that's only what they expect now. And if anything less than first place is a failure. I hate that mentality. I hate that way of thinking because everything changes. Situations change. Every year is different. So I think that's a horrible, horrible mentality to have. And I guess that could go into training as well. Like if your team doesn't do as well as last year, but there's always different situations and it's different for everyone. But I'm just trying to apply my situation so people can kind of relate it to something else.
Yeah. And I think that's great for you to, you know, say that too, because I think people have a hard time dealing with that, those failures that happen. And especially if you're doing bikini, like you better be mentally tough because that is it is not like a matter of if it's going to happen. It is going to happen. You are going to get a weird placing like that doesn't seem to make sense no matter how good you are. I mean, you could look at the Tampa Pro and you could look at a couple of the girls. There's a girl who did really well at the Tampa Pro and didn't even get a first call out in a much smaller show the week before, looked almost exactly the same and is a name in the industry. So like that happens all the time. And I like my hat's off to her for just picking up her heels and being like, okay, next week I'll do it again. And I'm going to bring the same thing. And then she plays really high at the Tampa. So like that stuff happens, you know, in this sport, it's a volatile sport. You know, you could be looking crazy good. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's a day before the show and your period started and you're holding a bunch of water or you're on a flight and then all of a sudden you're holding a bunch of water and it's like, you know, you didn't sleep the night before the show for some reason because you're too anxious and now all of a sudden you're holding a bunch of water again and you just look different. You know, you're stressed, your cortisol's up, whatever. There's just so many things that go into like that are uncontrollable that you really do have to do it just for your own personal best. And, you know, more times than not, that stuff's not going to happen, but it does, you know, it happens. So you know, you have to be like, okay, was I my best that I've ever been? As long as I'm still progressing, then that's what we need to do. And that's a cool thing about you is you're still bringing a better physique every year to the show. This year, you're more full, you're more balanced. You know,
my arms.
Yeah. You look jacked in the picture you posted the other day. I was like, dang. Cause you opened up, like you had your lats out. And I was like, oh man.
Oh, they're there.
She's jacked. Yeah. So So I think that's an important thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure the same thing as a coach too. It's like these things are out of control sometimes as a competitor. Not only that, but who shows up, like, are you going to look way more ripped than everyone else to the point where you stand out in a bad way? Cause you never want to be the most ripped on stage, but on the opposite end, like if you come in the same look a week later, but you're against girls that are, you know, leaner, then you're going to blend in more in a good way. So there's things like that. But as a coach too, I'm sure you're also kind of feeling those same things. Like you got to come in prepared knowing that like you might not win this. We're going to try our best, but things are out of your control. And sometimes like it's because of the athlete. Maybe they're not looking as sharp as usual. Maybe they didn't even follow your plan exactly. And it's a little frustrating on your end, but also because of the competition itself. Is it more competitive? Are the girls looking different than usual? So there's so many factors.
Yeah, it's really difficult as a coach. It's if you have someone that you're doing a lot of shows with, it's a lot easier. But it's like the first couple of shows are the hard one because you just don't know that person the last couple of days yet. You know, you don't know what's going to happen with them. And after that, it becomes a little more controllable. Like you're kind of have the expectations. But I used to have this one pro, and we'd have her looking crazy good like the day before the show, and it happened. We did two shows together. And I was like, man, she looks on point. She's perfect. And then she would stress out so much. She'd get so anxious, like before the show, and stress out so much. Her body, like by the time she'd get on stage from the day before, would just start changing. I'm holding a poop emoji.
Wow, I love it. What is that?
It's just a foam thing, but it's funny. I'm playing with it, and I brought it into the screen.
The stress poop emoji, foam thing?
When someone has a good check-in, they get a poop emoji. If they have a bad check-in, they get a bad, sad poop emoji. Oh, that's funny. And that girl, like, she would stress out so much. So for her, it was more about her just getting more comfortable with being a pro and getting on the pro stage. For her to get to the next level was just dealing with her stress and her not getting so anxious, because her body would just change. Like, it was just crazy. And you see it happen sometimes with bodybuilders too. Like, people can't really figure out why Randy can't hit his conditioning. What's happening? He's been with like 3 different coaches now, and they can't figure out how come he looks tighter days before the show, and the day of the show, he's always like just softer and spilled over, or if it's just retention of water. Rolly Winkler's like that too sometimes. And they're like, it's just hit and miss. And you have these athletes where it's just like, what is the reason for that? And there's no like explainable reason. You know, the coaches that are working with these guys are brilliant people. They're not like spilling them over with thousands of carbs. Just, you know, that's not the reason. And everyone always thinks that's it. It's sometimes it's just, you know, nerves and stress. And so the coach has to figure that out. So those are the hard ones. Those ones are hard. When you can't control certain aspects, that's when it becomes hard, because the athlete doesn't know like what to do. And then eventually they're like, well, I'm not winning with this guy or whatever. And I'm like, no, it's like Rami, he's left 3 or 4 guys. It's like, no, man, it's something the last week that happens with you that no one can figure out. And once you figure that out, you probably could be Mr. Olympia. You know, I think, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, cool news. Phil Heath's back. That's cool, right? That's
exciting. I saw that. That is pretty cool. This is going to be an exciting year for the Olympia. That's for sure. It's so unpredictable though, with the international travel thing. I'm wondering how that's going to go. You mentioned like there are a few athletes that are from a different country. I'm wondering how that is going to work. I know that one athlete just recently tried to come over from the UK for the Tampa, and I guess he was stopped at customs. They wouldn't let him. So I don't know if that's just a UK thing or what, but I think it's just the problem is the USA right now is getting into it. But I don't know. I'm kind of confused, because I know that there is a travel ban, but I'm seeing like videos of people vacationing in and out of other countries. So that's what I'm confused with. So I don't know. I just hope it all clears up before December when we compete, so that we can have like a fair go at this.
Yeah, I'm wanting to go to Spain this year for a pro show, and I'm wanting to go to the UK this year for a pro show. But it looks like if I go, I have to go under 14-day quarantine before I can go. So like I can't, obviously if that happened, I couldn't do it, because I would be stuck in a hotel for 14 days before I can go out and do something.
Really? Mm-hmm. And you would be quarantined in that country?
Uh-huh. You can't leave the hotel or whatever.
How would they prove that? Do they have a tracking on you or something?
I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's both countries or just one of those countries where I was like, where you're quarantined. Yeah, it's crazy, right? There's actually states that are doing that too, from state to state. Like if you're traveling from one of the high states, like if you're traveling from California to like New York or something, you're going to be mandatory quarantine. They actually have it in New York City now where they're like blocking the
way. I saw that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's probably why they moved the New York Pro to Florida, which is funny because it's called the New York Pro, but it's in Florida.
Yeah. It's funny, the New York Pro and then the LA Championships were both in different cities. Yeah. The New York Pro's in Florida. The LA Championships were in Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, hey, better safe than sorry. It's good that they're able to move it to a place that's more accommodating and safer for the athletes.
Yeah. I still don't see how USAs are going to happen in Los Angeles. Yeah. I don't see that in 4 months. I think I don't know. I haven't talked to Tamer or Tarek about it, but I just don't see it happening. I think it's going to go to Vegas too. I think it'll go back to Vegas. Maybe it is December, so there's still time, but I just don't see it happening. So I think it'll get moved too, but who knows? We'll see. I guess we'll see as it goes.
Yeah, so, this whole year is so unpredictable. You can't even book flights. Like I learned my lesson not to book any flights till the last minute, because all the shows are just getting rearranged, different places, different dates were canceled. So, gotta hold off on that to last 2 weeks for me.
Yeah.
I've missed so many, like, I've had a cancel so many flights that I didn't get a refund for, but whatever. That's life.
Right. It looks like they're finally starting to be a little bit more regular. So that's good.
Yeah. True.
We actually have now in Colorado, we haven't had a show here since March, and they actually have their first show this weekend. And they have one in 2 or 3 more weeks after that. So yeah. And then we'll be in You'll be in Florida for Clash. I'll be in Shreveport at some point. So yeah, it looks like things are starting to get regular again, even though they might get moved. That seems, mm-hmm. It seems like they're happening, but they might move, you know?
Right.
So anyway, yeah. So I guess with that, is that what we got for today? Any word of advice for you for the future, Ashley?
Well, you know, I would say just take advantage of every, you know, opportunity you have. You know, I always go by those words. What has gotten me the success that I've had is I've always realized that, you know, my time competing isn't going to last forever. So I got to make the most of it, whether that be with training or opportunities or doing shows. So, you know, just realize that. And I don't think you necessarily have to nail down a 10-year goal, a 10-year plan. Not necessarily. Things always change. People's mindsets change. Things like the, you know, virus thing happened, which switched up a lot of people's plans, for example. So, you know, just do what you can with the time you have.
Yeah, well, there you go. And with that amazing word of advice, we will leave you there. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you have any questions at all, feel free to DM us on Instagram, Ashley K Fit and at Team Elite Physique. Follow Ashley's amazing ebook at ashleykfit.com. What's your app too? How do I get to your app?
Ashley K Fit app.
Ashley K Fit app.
So original.
And contest prep stuff. We do contest prep at teamelitephysique.com. So thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.